Our gospel lesson today is John 14:15 through 21. The way, the truth, and the life. Please stand if you are able. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be too. You know the way to the place I am going. Thomas asked, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you will also know the Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Jesus replied, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you all this time? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Blessed be the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. It's been more than 30 years since Mom died. But this week has been filled with memories and what ifs. What if she had lived through the heart attack? What if she had just lived long enough to take that last vacation or enjoy the last Christmas she was planning? What if she had lived long enough to actually hold that first great-grandchild? I mean, so many what ifs. So many if-onlys. If only she could have lived a little longer. If only she was here now. Oh, how often I wish she was here now to tell me everything's going to be okay, to give me that quick smile of hers. Yeah, I'm not even certain what triggered all of this. I mean, maybe it's the fact that we were moving towards Mother's Day weekend. But then again, there was also the shock of looking in the mirror one day to comb my hair and see my mother looking back at me. I always looked like my father. Who was that got in the mirror? But then I got to thinking about it. I think I probably know what really happened. Our oldest granddaughter, Sophia, she announced that come this fall, she's going to be enrolled in classes at Rockhurst College. She wants to become a nurse. If you knew Sophia, that would be the last thing you would think she wanted to be. I remember... I remember the day that I made the big announcement. Several options were on the table, and I started out rather undiplomatically by saying, the one thing I am not going to be is a nurse. It set many in my family back a little bit. Everyone just assumed I was going to be a nurse, follow in my mother's footsteps. But while everyone else was expressing their opinion, Mom just took it. You see, by that time, I think she had grown accustomed to me, doing things my way. She began to understand that I wasn't going to do what everybody expected just because they expected. To say that I was just a little challenging to raise would have been an understatement. It wasn't that I was bad. I wasn't. I just thought differently. She never quite knew exactly what I was thinking or where those thoughts were going to take me next. It was always a surprise. And not always a good one. I mean, you talk about a crusader. That was me. There wasn't a cause or an issue that I was afraid to tackle. But the problem was I didn't have the maturity to go along with all of that crusading. And yet, despite the challenges it created, and it created many challenges, trust me, Mom never stopped me. Well, she tried to slow me down a bit. And there were times that she tried to outmaneuver me. To stop me? Never. I was, I was who I was. And that's just the way it was. After one of my more infamous crusades, it happened to land up on the morning news in Kansas City. That was an exciting time. Shortly after that, her women's group from church met at our house. You could say that the conversation turned to what I had just done. I mean, you know, they all had, after all, seen it on TV or heard about it on TV. And they began to offer Mom all of the friendly advice. After discussing it, they told her that they really thought she should probably establish some stricter boundaries. They understood that maybe what I was doing was on the side of right, but sometimes you just have to learn to be silent and safe. I was eavesdropping at the top of the steps. And what I remember is that Mom just sat there, listening to all their advice. And when they were finished, she thanked them politely for their concern. And then she said something that I've never forgotten. She looked at them and she said, "You know, God put that brain in her head for a reason. And she's going to grow into it. And on that day, she's going to be unstoppable. I've never understood exactly how Mom continued to be so optimistic. And I'm not for sure that I've ever even reached that day yet. But what I do know, Mom's confidence in me and her willingness to let me follow that voice that nobody else could hear, it has kept me going through some very difficult times. It's given me the strength and the confidence to do what I thought was right, even when the consequences were dire and the stakes were high. And my prayer today still is that someday I'm going to get to that day, that I'm going to finally be that person. Now, for whatever reason, this section of John, it reminds me of Mom and her confidence in me. It's what we know as Jesus' farewell discourse. And if we had continued reading, what we would discover is that Jesus has something to say about that day. He is sitting at the table, and he knows that in just a few hours, everything is going to fall apart. He looked out over those disciples, and there had been so many times in the last 3 years that they had caused him more than just a little concern. And even though he had been trying to tell them, they were still clueless. Completely and utterly clueless. They had disappointed him so many times and in so many ways at so many different times. Yet, like my mom, he looked at them and he didn't necessarily see who they were at that moment. He saw who they could be on that day. "If you love me," he said, "you'll keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive him because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see you, but you will see me because I live in you. You will live too. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you." He knew. He knew that there were still going to be failures and setbacks. He also knew that day was coming. That day when the Holy Spirit's guidance would finally help them put it all together. Everything he had taught them would finally make sense. And when it did, those miserable failures were going to become unstoppable. "On that day," he said, "you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me. On that day, they would be witnesses to the fact that everything he had taught them was not just a fantasy, a once upon a time story. They would know, and the world would get to know that the story was true. On that day, they would not only tell the story, they would become the story. A story filled with God's grace and God's love. A love that was intended for everyone, not just a select few. And yet on that day, there would be setbacks and roadblocks. I mean, some of what would happen to them would be the result of their own misguided judgments and short-sightedness. I mean, we are talking the disciples, right? Others, however, they would be the result of outside things that were out of their control. Things like the political climate, social norms, and that ever-present desire of so many people to have power and prestige and money and not caring who they step on to get it. And yet, what Jesus was saying was that on that day, when the disciples finally began to live that story, when they dedicated themselves to serving and teaching and loving as Jesus did, he knew that they were going to become an unstoppable force. And they did. They brought light into darkness. They gave hope to the hopeless and reminded those who were buried under a load of sin and guilt that forgiveness was theirs through the love of Jesus Christ, through the living Lord. They didn't have to live in fear and doubt any longer. On that day, the disciples became the living example. What is exciting? What's life-changing? What we need to remember above all else is that what happened then can and will happen now. It will happen when Christians dedicate themselves to following Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. When Jesus becomes the guiding force of our life, not everything going on around us. When we, like the disciples, like Jesus himself, dedicate our whole entire being to bringing glory to God, wonderful, life-changing things are going to happen. The Holy Spirit will work within us, giving us that power that we need, that insult, the patience to fill our lives with service and compassion. People will look at us and know immediately that something is different. And whatever it is we have, they will want to. But before we get to that day, we have to stop treating the Holy Spirit like an afterthought or some kind of fairy tale. We have to start taking the Holy Spirit seriously. We have to open ourselves to the Spirit. We have to set up and we have to acknowledge that free gift from God that lives within each one of us. As one theologian whom I managed to fail to write down his name wrote, I quote, "According to Jesus, the Spirit is the abiding present that connects to our sense of who we are. It is the Spirit that comes and whispers in our ears to remind us that we are better than we sometimes behave. that comes to remind us, even in the darkest of night, that we are not alone. We are loved, especially in those moments when we feel the most unlovable. On that day, on that glorious day when we finally set the spirit free, when we acknowledge the love, the guidance, the hope, the grace that is ours through the gift of God, we both as individuals and as the church, we will climb higher, we will dive deeper, we will understand and live more fully than we ever thought possible. Christians, we know the story. We know it. So let's live like it was ours. Let's live like we believe it. Let's make that day begin today. After all, the Holy Spirit's already here. All we have to do is follow. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen.